This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
All right. We are taking you up into the 11 o'clock hour when you'll have a full slate of NFL action, and we will discuss those games in the last hour of the program. This is a little bit different from what y'all are used to. If you're normally checking out the morning show, it's Payne and Pendergast from 6 to 10, and then In the Loop with John Lopez, Landry Locker, and Figgy Fig. They normally take things over at 10 o'clock, but instead, with the peculiarity of the holiday schedule, you've got the morning show plus an hour, so we can take you up to the game broadcast. So you basically get us a little bit of bonus feature here. But the thing that I want to get to, because I've been thinking about this with the Texans, especially given that, all right, look, we can't dance around it. And John, you wrote about it already on sportsradio610.com, so you've addressed it head on directly. Kenyon Green struggled. Okay, he struggled the last game. He struggled, I would say, the last few games. Certainly, there was that one game.
The last two, he's been terrible.
He had the one play where he negated a touchdown with a penalty. Had a few penalties last week, and plus that embarrassing sack that he gave up, where he basically gets pushed into the lap of Davis Mills.
He's on skates by Jonathan Allen.
Yo, there's a picture of that on sportsradio610.com if y'all haven't seen it. It is not flattering in any way for the number 15 overall pick in the draft. And I've said this too, John, a point that I've been making about Kenyon Green that, obviously this is not for him to internalize in any way. I'm sure he doesn't listen to the shows, and this is not something that I would want him to think about, but as a point that I made, there is a lot of pressure on that pick, okay? Not just because it's a first round. There's a lot of pressure on any first round pick, okay? No matter where in the first round they're taken, all of them have a lot of pressure on them. But for what he symbolizes as, just as a symbol in this organization, okay? He's the first pick in the Deshaun Watson from what you yielded from the Deshaun Watson trade. Okay, so he's that. And then the fact that Nick Caserio and the Texans decided to trade back from 13 to 15 to draft him admit that they were going to pass on at least one player, but obviously two players, because they moved back two spots. So they passed on the opportunity to draft two other players that could have been drafted in that spot, one of which was Jordan Davis, who was selected 13 where the Texans were. And lo and behold, I know Jordan Davis has been hurt, but – hey, man, you cannot tell me that wouldn't be an obvious and immediate upgrade to what the Texans got going on in the middle, in their interior defensive line. Like, that wouldn't make you feel better, at the very least, about the future of what they got going on there.
And the weakest thing the Texans had on their offense was their interior offensive line.
Yeah.
And one thing I've learned in all these decades of covering the NFL, you can't judge a player by what happens his rookie year. I've seen too many of them bounce back and be great, go to the Hall of Fame. And he has showed a lot of promise, but it's been his misfortune, and not just him, the entire interior, including Quisenberry and Can, going up against, beginning with the Titans, great defensive tackles four games in a row. Now, they're not going up against that against Miami, and I'm guessing Kenyon Green is not going to have a bunch of penalties and give up sacks. He's going to bounce back because he's not playing against players who are better than him. Any of those offensive guards that were selected in the first round, I think, would have struggled in this situation going up against those guys. And the Texans, among the needs they have, they need a center.
Yeah.
You know, they were counting on Justin Britt. He disappeared. Then they have to elevate Quisenberry. And so their center is a big need in the offseason.
It's been easy to overlook how much they have, how big of a need they have at center, because the focus, so much focus goes to Kenyon Green.
Yep.
But if we're honest about it, John, the center spot hasn't, right guard's been a little bit better, but it hasn't been great. And the center spot has been almost as bad, not quite as bad, but it's also not been good. So those are two spots that they definitely need to improve at.
It's a position that has to be addressed in the offseason. It could be in free agency. I'm not giving up on Kenyon Green at all. I think the guys, how he comes through this, is it a learning experience or does it kill his confidence? You know, it's going to be when you come in the NFL and you go up against guys that have been on weight programs for 3 or 4 years and you haven't, and you go up against them and they're stronger than you right away, you're going to lose some confidence. So he's got the kind of attitude they like. He's really good on run blocking. And the key, of course, is try to keep him out of as many obvious passing situations as they could. Davis Mills, the lowest rated passer in the league on third down. 2 touchdowns, 5 interceptions on third down.
Yep.
And they got to get better on third down. Teams bid on third down, mainly because quarterback play was so poor. But I think if they're able to run the ball more and more effectively, Kenyon Green's value will start to show the way it has in the games in which they have run the ball consistently well.
Yeah, I think we've seen way too many rookies struggle and then turn around and have good careers. I know it's a different position, but Kareem Jackson comes to mind as somebody who was awful his rookie year, ended up being a really good player for the Texans.
Still playing.
For a long time. Yeah, still playing to this day. Where I'm at is I still feel good about the rookies. I feel good about, or at least I'm not going to quit on them just because they're struggling. And they've, I don't know if you want to call it a wall or whatever it is, but they're not necessarily, Stingley's hurt, has been hurt. Petrie hasn't played as well as he had in the preseason and early on in the year, and he was still missing tackles back then. We just chronicled Kenyon Green's struggles. Damian Pierce has been a revelation, but I'm not giving up on the rookies for a second. I still feel good about that. I feel good about Stingley, Petrie, obviously Damian Pierce. I feel good about Nico Collins as a second-year guy. Some of the veterans that I would mention, and I think we did this earlier, but Desmond King, Malik Collins, and I go Steven Nelson and Jerry Hughes. Those would be the four, really, period, that have been signed over the last couple of years, free agent veterans that have been signed that I feel good about. You know, beyond that, I would just go the top four rookies that I mentioned and 4 or 5 rookies that I mentioned. Obviously, John Metchie's coming back next year, and those players that I, you know, Desmond King, Malik Collins, Steven Nelson, and Jerry Hughes, and I know Nico is a second-year guy, but let's just throw him in there in the mix with the young guys. Those are the players that I really look at and say, hey, I really want them on this team next year. Everybody else, and I know it's not going to be this way, but everybody else, I'm kind of shoulder shrugged. You know, like the disappointment of the second-year guys from Davis Mills to Brevin Jordan being a healthy scratch. Garrett Wallow's okay, but he's a
Roy Lopez and played as well.
Yeah, both of those guys, we're talking about replacement level, rotational type of guys. You know, I just feel like they got a lot of work to do. I don't know how many more guys other than the ones that I just named for you that I would be interested in keeping after this year.
One thing we got to point out that we haven't mentioned at all, the Texans special teams have been good this season.
Very good.
If a game comes down to special teams, I feel like the Texans will win. They got the best snapper in NFL history in John Weeks. They have Kymie Fairbairn, who's had a good year. Cam Johnston had another good year. The returns are fine. But Frank Ross's special teams deserve to be commended because they have not spit the bit, so to speak, like the offense and the defense have. And they got veterans. They got solid veterans, and I hope they're all back. You know, everything you just mentioned, Brandon, that's what happens when you're the worst team in the league.
Yeah.
And they're the worst team in the league. As Bill Parcells used to say, you are what your record says you are, and the Texans are the worst team in the league. They have a chance to surprise people. We see surprises every week in the NFL. We see Carolina win a game we're not expecting. Texans haven't won a game yet that people didn't expect. You know something that's interesting to me? You go back to the start of the 2020 season, and it's amazing how they got so bad so fast. And I think it's because making Bill O'Brien the general manager. He just ruined the team with his personnel moves. But if you go back to the start of that season, they've won 9 games. You take away beating Jacksonville, they've won 4. They have won 4 games in 3 years against teams not named Jaguars.
It's unbelievable.
That is the epitome of patheticness.
Yeah.
That's not a word.
You know, I don't mind. I'm here for introducing words into the English language.
Well, they're the epitome of patheticness.
Let's Let's do it. I think enough of both of us to be introducing new words into the English language. I ain't mad at that. That's John McClain, SportsRadio610.com's senior Texans columnist, and also brought to you by Horn Solutions. I am Brandon Scott, also SportsRadio610.com. I do a lot of the editing and headline writing and sort of gatekeeping over on that website. So I kind of do have a little bit of an important role there.
And you do a tremendous job.
I appreciate you saying that, John. I really do. Listen, the final hour, this is our last segment before the final hour of the show. We're going to take you up to the 3 NFL games slated for the rest of this Thanksgiving Day. So the last hour is going to be football heavy. I'm going to give us an opportunity here, John and myself, as faithful Astros fans and folks that have been able to write about the Astros, John more recently, me, over the last few years now. We're going to talk about what the Astros got going on in this offseason and free agency, what some of their needs are. I talked about a wish list earlier in the show, and a lot of you guys responded with Astros-related things. So let's talk about what the Astros need to address in free agency in this offseason. That is next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.